Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And welcome to you. I'm Sal Giangrasso on NBRFM, and our guest is Pamela D. Wilson, and she is the owner at Pamela D. Wilson Incorporated, and we're going to find out all about that, but first let's say hi, Pamela.
Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just great today. Good to have you with us. And Pamela is located in Golden, Colorado, but her geographic location is not as important when it comes to her services. Pamela, tell us about, first of all, your web address, and then we'll get into what you do.
So the web address that I use for this program is actually an educational address. It's caregiver-911.com. And it's a place where listeners can find access to a library of articles, subjects, mini videos, just helpful information for caregivers.
Okay, that's great. And so then they could go on there and get tips right off the website. But going a little deeper into it, exactly what is the service that you provide and how do you go about doing it?
I help caregivers solve problems. And the way that I go about doing it really is it's national, it's boundless. I do online caregiving support groups and also caregiving education. So if somebody wants to know, like, how do I become a power of attorney for my parents or what's involved? How do I find assisted living? How do I hire in-home caregivers? I do education on everything that relates to caregiving.
Well, that's very good to know, and it's, I'm sure, a growing need for that as the aging population increases. There are more octogenarians and nonagenarians, I would guess, than ever before in the United States.
You know, there are, and interesting, I read an article this week, there are more millennials now actually caring for aging parents than ever. I think 1 in 6 millennials are taking care of a parent with either Alzheimer's or dementia.
Right. And just looking at it, I mean, I'm sure there are different degrees because when you talk of millennials doing it, the people that they're caring for might be a little younger than someone who was a baby boomer and taken care of. So I guess there are different shades of gray in this into how much attention needs to be paid.
You know, sometimes it's just picking up groceries for a parent or picking up a prescription. And then way on the other end, it's somebody that cannot be left alone at all and needs 24-hour care, and you are doing everything.
And we're going to get into that more deeply, but I'd like to know a little bit more about you. How did you get your start in this?
You know, long story, but quick story. So I was going to be a social worker when I got out of high school. Didn't do that and went to work in corporate America, but during those years had a number of losses. My oldest sister was killed in a car accident when I was 17. Both my parents died between my age of 35 and 38, and then my brother passed away. And so I really thought, why didn't I do that helping people thing? And so over 20 years ago, I changed careers, and this is what I've been doing for the past 20 years.
So it was your personal experience in this that got you to branch out and do it for more people.
Yes, and my mother was a natural caregiver. I forget to mention that, but she took care of my grandmother and other parent, you know, people in my family, and she took me around when I was little. And I always loved older people, and I still do. Obviously, I wouldn't be doing this.
I have some familiarity with this myself because as I was growing up, we had 4 generations in the house. So I'm familiar with having a great-grandmother who lived to 92. I lived with grandparents growing up. I help out with my own mother, who's approaching 90. So, you know, it's an interesting phase of your life because you want to do everything you can to help. But sometimes it can get a little overwhelming.
It can be too much. And that's one thing. I think a lot of caregivers are afraid to talk about this, especially, and you're a man, but especially men, you know, men will say, I'll say, well, men, you know, how's it going? And they'll be like, oh, you know, it's fine. It's just fine. And I'm like, are you sure it's fine? And then, you know, they'll start to talk about it. For caregivers, it's important to know that it's okay to say, you know, hey, I'm frustrated. I'm having a bad day. My mom yelled at me this morning and I'm angry with her.
Right.
Because that is what happens. I mean, that's caregiving life.
Right. It's not a total vacation. You know, I also wanted to, before we got too far into this, if you're listening, you're a caregiver, or you have a question about caregiving, Pamela D. Wilson is willing to take your call. So the number to reach us at is 631-406-9054, 631-406-9054. When you call in and you start to hear the show, just hang on the line, and we'll get to your question as soon as Pamela is able to finish the thought, okay? 631-406-9054. So we know how you got started with this. How is your background, both personally and professionally, of value to other caregivers?
Personally, it's because I have experienced the loss that many caregivers are going through or they have gone through. And professionally, I have served as a court-appointed guardian, a medical power of attorney, a financial power of attorney, personal rep of an estate. So I've been legally responsible for large numbers of people who were not my family members. And, you know, if you kind of look at, I always talk about like LeBron James or some of the basketball stars, you know, they're good because of practice and repetition. I'm good because of practice and thousands of people that I've helped.
What about, I want to talk about power of attorney specifically, but before you need power of attorney, sometimes you need a health proxy. How important is it important to arrange for a health proxy for someone you're giving care to?
You know, it's important. There's a lot of steps. You know, people just think power of attorney is this piece of paper. There's a lot of steps before you even get to that, and it includes, you know, a health proxy, do not resuscitate, even just thinking about the person that you want to appoint and are they the right person to make decisions. Many times parents will appoint children who haven't managed money well and don't know anything about medical issues, and then when the time comes for care, it's a mess. There are professionals out there who do this, and I was one of them, so I'm kind of pro having somebody with the experience to make the right decisions for you and to actually follow through.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of moving parts. I mean, because power of attorney and a DNR, do not resuscitate, and a health proxy, these are three specific things with different roles that they play, right?
They are, and it's complicated. And I'll give you an example. So I had a client that had a DNR form, and specifically on there, she didn't want a feeding tube. She went into the hospital, an emergency happened, she had surgery, they damaged her esophagus, we wanted to put in a temporary feeding tube, and the doctor was arguing with me because he's like, well, she signed and said no. And I said, well, but who knew you were going to have a medical error and damage her ability to swallow? So there's black areas, there's gray areas, there's light areas on all of this. It's not just cut and dried.
Yeah, you know, you're really pioneering in a new area when you delve into this. Is I think the one piece of things that I've noticed with this.
And you know, even with so my parents, they fortunately had living wills and they had everything in place. But you know, for the person who was going to be that medical power of attorney, you have to think about what's going to happen toward the end of life for this person, and am I going to be able to turn off the machines?
Mm-hmm.
Strangely enough, both of my parents were in situations where we had to do that, and we did. There was, you know, by then, four of us children, two had passed away.
Yeah. You know, you brought up an interesting point before about men doing this. Years ago, caregiving, mainly female responsibility. Now, more men are becoming caregivers, you know, like in my case, I don't have any sisters. I got two brothers. You know, the responsibility has fallen to me, but more men are becoming caregivers. Is that because of changing gender roles in society? Why is that happening? I mean, it wasn't in my case, but why is that happening generally? And is there any difference in the way men and women approach this?
A huge difference. And if there's men out there, I'd love you to call in and talk about this. You know, the percentages now are probably 60% of caregivers are female, 40% are men. Part of it is because of what you mentioned in your family. There may not be any sisters. Or if there are sisters, they may be 2,000 miles away, and the son may be the person in town with the parents. And so the differences are funny. I've been doing some groups this week. Women are so social, and they're chatty, and we talk about everything, and we're emotional. Men are like, got a problem, want to solve it, let's move on.
That's true. And You're right.
And I was researching, I mean, I'm kind of dating myself here, but I was looking at television shows back to the 70s and 80s. You know, Sanford and Son, where he was the caregiver for his father, the Jeffersons with Mother Jefferson, Carol Burnett had her mother Eunice, who was crazy. And all those old shows, and it's funny because I don't really see that on TV today. Back then, it was more like, yeah, we take care of our parents, and it's crazy, and that's the way it is.
Right.
Today it's different.
Well, the media, the way the media treats issues today and the issues that the media goes after, they don't talk about those kind of things today, but they haven't disappeared.
No.
Right. Go ahead. Continue with that line of thought.
So your point about they haven't disappeared, is kind of the fact that I go back to it. You know, caregivers don't talk about how stressful this is, and they're all pressed for time. I mean, everybody is pressed for time. You know, caregivers work, they take care of their families, take care of aging parents. You know, you might be going to school, doing other things. Time is just such a pressure for caregivers, and it's not something that they talk about.
Well, now, you're the expert, so you tell me. Is it appropriate then to say, all right, we're going to block out these periods of time. This is when we're going to do food orders. This is where we're going to do financial type of stuff. You can count on me to be there at this time, bunch it all together, and then we'll do it. Or do you have to be a floater? You know, like as some whim comes up, you got to be there. How do you do this?
You know, it's both. So if you're, let's say that you're an adult child and your parent needs help, and you say, okay, Mom, I can be there every Saturday from 12 to 4, and to your point, we're going to pay your bills, pick up your prescriptions, go grocery shopping, things like that. The unpredictable part happens when health is complicated and there's a lot of things going on. So when I was a caregiver, my mom would call me on Sunday saying, hey, I need to go to the hospital emergency room, or something during the week would happen. There are some times where you have to be a floater, and you're getting those 3 a.m. phone calls, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I got to be to work in, you know, 4 hours, and Mom's calling, and I guess I'm going to the emergency room.
Right, right. So now this, the whole health issue in this raises a completely different point, and tell me what your experience tells you. How important is it to get long-term care coverage? I mean, both for you and your spouse, you know, looking ahead to the next generation.
You know, in my opinion, and this is just, again, my opinion, I think it's extremely important. And, you know, a lot of husbands and men are not interested in it. And this is what I say to the men out there listening. Get it for your wife if you don't want it, because the stats are, unfortunately, that men die first, the wives are left taking care of themselves, and they end up in nursing homes at the end of their life with no money to pay for care. Long-term care insurance is amazing what it allows. It pays for in-home care. You can go to assisted living. It pays for daycare-type situations. It's just invaluable. And with the cost of care today, you know, a day in a nursing home is $300.
Right.
You want in-home care, $30 an hour.
Yeah.
Most people can't afford it, but yet, you know, we'll pay for car insurance and never use it. You
well,
really use
hopefully.
Your long-term care insurance.
Yeah, but the thing with car insurance is you hope you never need it, and they
right.
won't let you drive without it. With this, you know, people take a chance and say, I don't think I need it, and then they do need it, and it gets very pricey. But, you know, long-term care insurance also is kind of expensive. I mean, especially at the time you buy it, right?
Well, no. So the younger you are and the healthier you are, the less it is. So I bought my policy when I was about 40 years old, just because of what had happened to my parents. My premiums back then were $800 a year because I have more time to pay and I was healthy. If you wait until you're, you know, 60, 65, yeah, it's going to be $3,000 or $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
But if you then look at, okay, a nursing home is $100,000 a year, it's really a no-brainer if you have the money to pay for it.
Right, if you have the money to pay for it. And as with any kind of insurance, even life insurance policies, the earlier you get into the game, the less you pay. But as people are approaching retirement age and they're saying, you know, maybe we should consider long-term care, it's not cheap. I mean, it does cost a few coins there.
Well, it does. And if you have health problems, they will rate you. And this is what most people don't know. So you just can't get long-term care insurance. Everybody can't get it. If you have diabetes or other health complications, you may be able to get it, but you'll pay higher premiums, 25 to 30% more than the average person. So again, don't wait. Get it when you're young and healthy.
Makes a lot of sense. Our guest is Pamela D. Wilson, and she has advice for caregivers. She's the owner at Pamela D. Wilson Incorporated. And Pamela, once again, could you give us your website so folks know where to find you?
Please, yes. The website, so too, PamelaDWilson.com. But if you will go to caregiver-911.com, free library, my book with shipping, video mini-series for caregivers.
Okay. Pamela, stand by with me. I'm going to give you the opportunity to take a breather here. We're going to take a break. And when I come back, I have more questions for you about this whole caregiver realm. So stay with us, okay?
Perfect.
All right, and you stay with us too. We'll be back right after this.
Stones and Stuff. Get the right stuff into your world with Stones and Stuff. Do you feel, even with your accomplishments and achievements, you're between a rock and a hard place? Disconnected from the inner you? Then the team at Stones and Stuff can safely guide you through your spiritual journey to your authentic self, using stones, crystals, minerals, and the power of self-healing to find deeper insight into your life. Step back into the real you. Be set free to be who you were meant to be. Go to stonesandstuff.com or call for services at 207-874-0789. Stones and Stuff. Love rocks.
Are you one of the millions of Americans suffering from chronic joint or muscle pain? If so, get to the source of your pain. Orthopedic Physical Therapy Incorporated, located at 2000 Bremo Road, Suite 202 in Richmond, Virginia. Orthopedic Physical Therapy specializes in getting to the source of your chronic aches and pains through one-on-one, individualized treatments, including hands-on manual therapy. Orthopedic Physical Therapy uses the most up-to-date and effective methods to treat musculoskeletal dysfunction, back pain, pelvic pain, or any other chronic ailments that you just can't seem to shake. Not to mention, Orthopedic Physical Therapy is proud to be one of the first clinics in the state of Virginia to offer trigger point dry needling. For more information about our products and services, visit our website at www.orthopedicptinc.com or dial 804-285-0148. You don't have to live with chronic aches and pains. Improve your quality of life and get back in the game with Orthopedic Physical Therapy, where we get to the source of your pain.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And we're back. Sal G. Andressa with you here on NBRFM. Pamela D. Wilson is our guest. She is the owner at Pamela D. Wilson and an expert in caregiving issues. Pamela, before we start this next segment, could you please again remind folks of your website?
Yes, please. If listeners will visit caregiver-911.com. There are answers to common caregiving questions, a library with 30 subjects. You can get a free copy of my book that's called The Caregiving Trap. You just pay for shipping. And there is a mini video series, 20 different videos on subjects from Alzheimer's to in-home care.
And if you have a question today for Pamela, she's accepting calls. So give us a ring here, 631-406-9054. And when you get through, just hold the line until you hear Pamela finish her thought, and we'll get right to your call, 631-406-9054. All right, Pamela, let's reverse this idea now. What are some of the concerns that aging parents have about their children providing care? What's the other side of the equation?
You know, for aging parents, it's a couple of things. One is some parents just don't want to be a burden. They don't want to bother their kids, you know, to have them be the caregiver. And sometimes it's because they were the caregiver for their parents and they know what it was like. And so that's challenging because the children may be saying, well, mom or dad, do you need help? And they're like, oh, no, I'm fine. I don't need help. And mom and dad are falling down the steps. They're losing weight. They're having all kinds of problems. And so just having those conversations can be a little difficult. And I just encourage the children to just say, you know, what can I do for you today? I'm coming over on Saturday. What do you want to do? What kind of help do you need? That's
right.
Important.
Right.
And then, you know, there's practical concerns. So parents worry about all kinds of things. Like, for example, you know, medications. If they take a lot of prescriptions, how do they get them from the pharmacy? Do they even know how to set them up in those little med minders so they're taking them at the right time? Being worried, you know, they live alone in the house. What if they fall down the steps? And, you know, one of the embarrassing things is personal care for older adults who are incontinent. Having your children help you with those kinds of things is embarrassing.
Sure, sure. There's a humiliation in that, sure. And I guess there's another inherent fear. How common is it? It would seem that it'd be a lot that aging parents feel they're going to have to leave their home.
Oh, number one fear is having to leave the home. And my mom was a perfect example. She threatened us kids. She's like, so help me, if you ever put me in a nursing home, I will come back from my grave and I will haunt you for the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
You know, neither of my parents wanted to leave their homes. Unfortunately, they didn't have to. But, you know, sometimes children see that as an easy solution. They think, well, you know, we'll just put mom and dad in assisted living and everything will be fine. And it either works out or it doesn't. You know, if mom or dad are social, it works out. If they're not and they have a lot of health problems, what people don't realize is assisted living is assisted living. They don't do everything from an aging parent. You know, they provide meals, they do housekeeping. The person still needs all the help they needed when they were at home. Who's going to do that? Are the kids going to show up?
Right. Yeah, right. But now let's craft a scenario here. I'll walk you through this and you tell me about some of the pitfalls. Parents don't want to leave the house. The kids don't want to let them leave the house. Bringing someone in can be very expensive. And here comes the bugaboo. Can insurance pay for it? Well, Medicaid has some very specific rules that have to be met before Medicaid will pay for it. Medicare won't pay for it. What do you do then?
So most people will, so I call it friends and volunteers. You know, in many cities and larger cities, the rural ones are a little difficult, but there are volunteer organizations, like AARP has volunteer organizations, retired senior volunteers. So many times, if you don't have money to pay for in-home care, you can find a volunteer that will be more than willing to come over a few days a week. You know, sometimes just having a friend come over for lunch one day a week makes a difference. If you can't find that, then yes, it's private pay. It's long-term care insurance, or it's Medicaid. And Medicaid is tough because you have to meet income guidelines and health guidelines. And generally, it does differ by state. But here in Colorado, income $2,000 a month and no assets. And by no assets, I mean no money in a savings account. You don't own a second house.
You don't own a first money. House. You don't even own a first house in New York.
Well, you can own the house you live in, you know. You can own the house you live in. You can have a car. But
that's
you pretty much have to be, I hate to say penniless, but penniless to access Medicaid.
Right. And what I was referring to is if you are going to move in with one of the kids, at least in New York State, they want you to divest all assets, including the house, with a five-year pullback if a person has to go into a nursing home. I mean, this is real-world stuff.
Well, it is, and I'll give you a nightmare example. I had a client who gave $60,000 to her granddaughter for a wedding. 2 months later, she became so ill that she needed care. Medicaid wouldn't approve her because she gave away the $60,000. Medicaid wanted her to find a way to pay $60,000 in care, and then they would take care of. So, you know, older people may want to do good deeds and give money away. Don't do it if you think you're going to need to be on Medicaid.
Right, exactly, right. And when people need to move, though, let's say someone can't remain at home. They've had some medical event that really is not conducive to at-home care. How do you work around that?
So Medicaid will pay for some assisted living communities. So here in Colorado, easiest to access is what I call a personal care home, which is like a private home that has caregivers and maybe only 6 to 8 residents. You do have to go through the Medicaid application process to do that. If you have money, you just move into, you know, a regular assisted living. Pitfalls there are you want to ask the questions to say, what care do you provide? At what point will my parents have to move? I used to get calls from adult children saying, oh, we moved our parents into this home a week ago, and now they're telling us they can't care for mom or dad. And it's because the kids didn't ask about, you know, or tell about a health condition that mom or dad had. Maybe they have dementia and they wander. You know, people with Alzheimer's and dementia have to be in special care units. They can't be walking out the door on a busy, you know, assisted living that's on a busy street.
Right, right.
They will be asked to move.
Pamela, could you tell me then what would be some of the benefits of caregiving support, like the ones you have available there at caregiving-911.com?
So caregivers have a lot of questions, and sometimes they don't even know what questions to ask. So, you know, maybe a doctor's recommending a treatment, and the caregiver's like, well, yeah, fine, I guess we should do that. Well, because of my 20 years of experience, I know the questions. I can help caregivers ask the right questions and avoid the pitfalls of moving mom and dad into an assisted living that they're going to be asked to move out of in 30 days. So it's the benefit of, just like all of us, you know, what we don't know is what causes us problems. And using experts, so, you know, you use a CPA to do your taxes, you use a car mechanic to fix your car, I'm that caregiving expert. I'm the, you know, I'm the 911 call saying, oh my gosh, we have a problem, what do we do? And I also help people look toward the future. So mom or dad need care today. What's going to be like a year from now, 2 years from now? How do we plan for that? What should we be thinking about?
Right. And we only have a few minutes left here. So, Pamela, what I'd like you to do, if you would, is to think back on your experience and tell us a proud moment that you have, an anecdote of how you assisted someone through this labyrinth and how it ended satisfactorily for them.
You know, and this is a, kind of a funny one, but so many times I intervene for children because they don't know how to talk to their parents. I had a situation where a son who was so busy, couldn't go visit his mom every day, and she'd call like 10 times a day. So he's like, you know, could you be that person for her? Could you just solve everything? And I'm like, sure. Well, mom threw me out probably 12 times. She was angry because she thought I was trying to be the substitute for her son. And, you know, on the 13th time, she's like, you know what, you can stay. You've come
right.
enough.
Yeah.
Here's all the help that I need. And honestly, I fell in love with the woman, and I was able to help her children because they couldn't show up every day. They couldn't solve her oxygen machine problems. They couldn't, you know, solve when the nurse and the assistant living didn't show up. I took care of all of that.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of successes out there that can happen when people problem solve.
Pamela D. Wilson is the owner at Pamela D. Wilson Incorporated. Caregiving is her expertise. She's in Golden, Colorado, but her reach extends far beyond that. Pamela, it was great talking with you today. As we wrap up, if you could please remind everybody where they could find you, your website, social media, phone, email. And again, if you could run down those things at caregiver-911.com that they could take advantage of.
Yes. So caregiver911.com, there is access to a free caregiving library, 30 subjects, 20 videos about different subjects from Alzheimer's and home care. You can get a free copy of my book, The Caregiving Trap. You just pay for shipping. My website is PamelaDWilson.com. There's a lot of free information there. And phone number is 888-393-7754.
Pamela, it was great. Thank you. A lot of great information you provided with us today. I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you, Sal. Have a great day.
Yes, you too. Have a great day. And don't go away because we'll be back right after this.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.